The text in the Holy Scriptures that we consider this morning is found in Psalm 78. I'm going to read that first, and then we're going to turn to a couple other passages that set before us more fully that cloud that led the people of Israel. So first, Psalm 78, verse 14. I'm not going to read the beginning part of Psalm 78. I'll review that in the introduction to the sermon. But notice verses 13 and 14 in Psalm 78. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as in heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. Now from there we turn to Exodus 13. Verses 20 through 22, the last three verses of that chapter. The history in this chapter is that Pharaoh had just let the people of Israel go after God had sent the 10 plagues upon Egypt. And then we read in verse 20, and they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And then finally, we're going to read in Numbers chapter 9. Numbers 9, beginning at verse 15. And this relates the history of that cloud and pillar of fire and its relationship to the tabernacle. So Numbers 9, beginning at verse 15, we'll read to the end of the chapter. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. At the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. That ends our reading of Scripture. Let's pray and ask God's blessing in the preaching. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the Holy Scriptures that Thou dost give. They're a light shining upon us in a dark world, leading us and guiding us in the way that we are to go. Father in heaven, we're thankful that we can look at this history of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that Thou dost give to the people of Israel long ago, as they journey through the wilderness. We're thankful for what they represent, Thy presence and Thy guidance. And we know our need for this today, to be reminded in the wilderness of this world of Thy constant presence with us and Thy guidance in our lives. So deliver us through this word from fears we may have, and give us strength to trust in Thee and Thy faithful and merciful presence with us. We pray, O Lord, that Thou will write this word upon our hearts that we may meditate it, meditate upon it, and be assured of Thy nearness and presence. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are very real fears that we and our children have at times in our lives. Sometimes our children are afraid. They've had a nightmare and they maybe wake up or wake up screaming. And we have to go and console them. There are things that change in their lives and they're afraid. Maybe a first day of school. Or mom and dad have to go away somewhere and they're going to leave him or her with a babysitter or someone else. And they don't like that. They don't like to be away from mom and dad. But it's not just children who have fears. We have them as well as adults. Changes that take place in our lives. Things don't go as we expect them to go. And so sometimes we're afraid. And as we speak to our children about their fears, one of the things that we might say to them is, you don't have to be afraid right now. You don't have to be afraid right now because the Lord is with you. And sometimes we may comfort ourselves with that same hope and same comfort. We don't have to be afraid right now. Why? The Lord, He is with us. I bring that up this morning because that's the reminder of this history that we consider this morning. The history of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. It was a reminder to the people of Israel of the presence of God with them. And it was a reminder to them that He was the one who is guiding them through the wilderness. Now this is what comes up. What's brought to our attention in Psalm 78. I was thinking, even in continuing on in the series in Psalm 78 that we've had at baptism, of skipping over this verse and just going on to a large chunk of what follows, where God provided and the people of Israel rebelled against God and complained against God. But then just in looking at this verse, I was reminded of the fact that there's important truth right here in this verse of the cloud and the fire. And so I was compelled to preach on this at this occasion of baptism this morning. This is brought to our attention in Psalm 78. Psalm 78 is a covenant psalm. A psalm that sets before us the beautiful truth of God's covenant. Remember what the covenant is. The covenant is the relationship of love and friendship that God establishes with His people in Jesus Christ. God brings us, His people, into a relationship of love and friendship with Himself. We're His sons and His daughters. We're His bride. The Scriptures speak of covenant in those terms. We have that relationship of love and friendship with Him. But what Psalm 78 emphasizes about God's covenant is that God is a God who works in the generations. Four generations are mentioned in the beginning part of Psalm 78. An older generation of grandparents, and then their children, and then their children, and then a generation that had not yet been born. And the idea is, because God works in the line of generations, He saves in the line of generations. That's the important calling then of parents and the generations that go before to teach the following generations the truth of who God is. And so the psalmist in Psalm 78, who is Asaph, he is reminded and he reminds us that we are to use the history of the Old Testament to teach our children who God is with this goal in mind. Verse 7 of Psalm 78. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. As parents, is not that the goal that we have in our parenting? That our children would set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And so as we look at the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire reminded as parents that this is some of that history that we are to use in teaching our children. In those times when they're afraid, don't be afraid, God's with you. Don't be afraid, God's leading you and guiding you. Those are the two things that we want to consider this morning as we look at the pillar of cloud and fire. So our theme this morning is led by a pillar of cloud and fire. And two truths we notice here, Jehovah's constant presence, and then secondly, Jehovah's faithful guidance. So His presence and His guidance. The fundamental truth that is revealed in the cloud and the fire this morning is Jehovah's presence with His people. Important aspect of the truth of God's covenant. Jehovah God is always present with His people, and because He's always present with His people, we have nothing to fear. That's true in all of our lives. We have nothing to fear in all of our lives, even when we feel alone. Sometimes children, you might think that you're alone. There might be little children who are afraid to go to bed at night because they think they're alone. They're in their bedroom. All that they see is the darkness around them, and they're afraid. And sometimes mom and dad say, well, we're right in the room next to you. It's okay. But even more than that, Jehovah, God, He's with you. There might be those who are afraid of being alone who are married, and maybe think about losing a spouse. They're afraid of being alone. Young people, you might be afraid of being alone, not having close friends, being rejected by others. That's very hard to go through as well. But in that wilderness, the Word of God reminds us, no, God is constantly present with us. That's the testimony of the cloud and fire. So we have to look at that cloud and fire for a moment. God gave this pillar of cloud and fire to lead the people of Israel from Egypt to the promised land of Canaan. That cloud, that pillar of cloud and fire were amazing. Because really you have one thing here that was found in two different forms. During the day, there was this special cloud that led the people of Israel. And during the night, what happened to that cloud is it transformed into fire. And that happened day after day as the people of Israel were in the wilderness. And we might wonder, what exactly did that look like? Children, maybe you wonder that. What did it look like? Well, we don't know exactly. We're not given an exact picture in the Scriptures. But be assured that this cloud that they saw during the day, first of all, was not a normal cloud. You know that there are different kinds of clouds. A stratus cloud, a cumulus cloud, a stratocumulus cloud, or a cumulonimbus cloud. It wasn't one of those kinds of clouds. It was unique in its shape, which is evident from what we read in Exodus 13, where it's called a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Normally when we look up in the sky and we see clouds, even individual clouds, we notice that those clouds spread out horizontally usually. But this cloud was different. It was vertical, like a pillar or a column. So we can picture it as a large, round, column, pillar type of cloud. Was long and round like the column of a large building. And the importance of it was this. That special cloud then could be seen by the people of Israel wherever they were in the camp. The camp was very large. And so wherever they were in the camp, they could see that cloud. And at night, they could see the pillar of fire. So you have to picture it that way. A long, skinny, column, pillar type of cloud in the sky that turned into fire in the evening. And we're told in Exodus 13 that this cloud and fire were always with the people of Israel as they traveled in the wilderness. From the time that they left Egypt till the time that they came to the border of the land of Canaan, that cloud was there with the people of Israel. day and night, the people of Israel could look up and it was always there. In the morning they would get up, there was the cloud. At night they would go to bed, there was the fire. Every day, the same thing, never was it taken away. Now, just think of that as they're heading out into the wilderness. They're leaving the land of Egypt, the land of Goshen in Egypt, which was a fertile, prosperous part of Egypt. Now they're heading out in the wilderness. And the question was, how would they have enough water? How would they have enough food for all of these people? How would they be safe from the attacks of the enemies? Who would defend them, since their men were not trained in warfare? They knew how to make bricks and they knew how to build buildings as slaves in the land of Egypt, but they were not well trained in warfare. Who would protect them? Who would take care of them? And the testimony of the cloud every day and the pillar of fire by night is that the Lord was with them, protecting them. And so as a reminder to them, trust in God's presence with them. And that brings us to understand then the significance of this cloud and fire. What it signified was the presence of Jehovah. But really, that's not enough. It's not just the presence of Jehovah, because Jehovah God is a God who is present everywhere. So it's not just His presence, but it's His presence in His power and His mercy. What made all the difference for the people of Israel was to know that Jehovah was present with them in His power and in His mercy. That was the testimony of the cloud and the fire. That especially comes out in what we read in Numbers 9. In Numbers 9, we are told about the relationship between that cloud and fire and the tabernacle at the time when the tabernacle was built and given by God through Moses. That happened at Mount Sinai. So the people of Israel didn't have the tabernacle until the time that they were at Mount Sinai. But after the tabernacle was built, what would happen is that the cloud was connected to the tabernacle. So that when the people of Israel were to rest and stop in a certain place, that cloud would come down and rest upon the tabernacle. And when they were to move, that cloud would lift up and it would go forward, telling the people that they were to move on from that place and go to the next place and follow the Lord. Now we'll see in the second point the guidance, the leading of God. But here we see that the pillar of cloud and fire indicated the presence of God because of its relationship to the tabernacle. Remember the significance of the tabernacle. What was the significance of the tabernacle? Well, the tabernacle was the tent, as it were, where God lived. It was the tent for God. It was ornate, but nonetheless, it was a tent that the people of Israel, the priests and Levites, could pack up and they could set up again. And the tabernacle pictured the presence of Jehovah right in the middle of His people, in the camp of the people, especially there in the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant rested. That was a picture of the presence of the Lord among His people. And then what happened is that cloud was over that tabernacle, would come on that tabernacle in the night. It would be the fire of that cloud that would be over the tabernacle. So the people of Israel were reminded of the presence of God with them every day there at the tabernacle. The tabernacle was not so high and large that wherever the people of Israel were in the camp that they could see the tabernacle. But in essence, they could see the tabernacle because every day they could see the cloud and they could see the fire right over the tabernacle. And so that reminded the people of Israel of the presence of God with them in power and mercy to protect them, to care for them, and that He would ever be merciful to them. We see that also because the cloud and the fire was used by God at the Red Sea. Remember that connection too. So the cloud came and led the people of Israel before the Red Sea. In fact, it led them to the Red Sea, to that position where the clouds or the mountains were on both sides. The Red Sea was in front of them. The army of Pharaoh was behind them. God and that cloud led them there. But remember what that cloud did as it separated between the people of Israel and the army of Pharaoh. Pharaoh and his army were in the dark because of that cloud, where at the same time, that pillar of fire shone the way for the people of Israel so that they could cross even the Red Sea. It separated between those two people. And there we see the presence of God with His people to protect them and deliver them. But then also we read this in Nehemiah 9. Nehemiah 9 verse 19 says this about the cloud. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies, forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light in the way wherein they should go. But there we see in that verse that that cloud and fire represented the manifold mercies of God upon His people. He was present with them in His mercy, His undeserved mercy. Even though they forsook Him and they were disobedient and they rebelled against Him, as we read in Psalm 78. Yet, Jehovah never forsook them because He was a faithful covenant God. And that's part of it. The very fact that that cloud was never taken away, the people saw it every day, and the fire every night, was a testimony of the mercy of God for them. That never changed. And then when we look at this cloud and this pillar of fire, we see that it's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10. In the beginning verses of 1 Corinthians 10 points out the cloud, and it points out the Red Sea, pointing out as well the fulfillment in Jesus Christ. You see, God's promise in the cloud and the fire is, I will give you everything you need to arrive safely in the promised land. That's God's promise to us. I will give you everything you need to arrive safely in the promised land. And that's what He does through Jesus Christ. The presence of God with us is most fully seen and revealed in Jesus Christ. We read of that in a couple of places in the New Testament. There's first of all, John 1. John 1, verse 14. Beautiful truth of the incarnation. The Son of God becoming flesh. You read there, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then notice this. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the glory of God and the glory of God's mercy, most fully revealed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, become flesh. This is also what we read in the beginning chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 1. There we read in the beginning verses, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. And now this verse, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus Christ is the fullest revelation of the glory of God. And that's true because in Jesus Christ we have the fullest revelation of the mercy of God. The Son of God who became flesh to pay for our sins, that we might have the right to everlasting friendship and life with God. And then we see this morning the connection to baptism. That's the focus of baptism. It's not the water. It wasn't Nora. But it's what it points to. Jesus Christ. And the mercy of God, that in Jesus Christ He washes away our sins, and through Jesus Christ we have life and friendship with God, not only in this life, but in the life which is to come. And so the application then comes to us this morning. What's the application of the cloud and the fire to us today? Well, the application is this. Jehovah is present with us today in His mercy and in His power in the wilderness of this world. We don't have a cloud today. Not that special cloud. Not that pillar cloud and that pillar of fire. We didn't drive up to the church building this morning expecting to find a special cloud. And we wouldn't come tonight expecting in the darkness of night to see a column of fire resting over the church building. We don't have the cloud. But we have something that's better than the cloud. We see and know the presence of God with us. We see and know that by His Word and Spirit. That's why we don't need the cloud today. We have the Holy Scriptures. We have God speaking to us. And in this Word, He comes to us and says, I'm present with you in my mercy and in my love and in my power. And then we also have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We have the Spirit dwelling in us. And there we see the presence of Jehovah with us and with His church. But now let's see and understand this morning that what's most important for us to know in our lives in this world is the presence of God with us. To know that He's for us and not against us. We need that for many reasons. We need that because we live in a world of great wickedness and sin. And it's not just in this world of sin we have enemies who are fighting against us. We do. There's Satan and a wicked world that we're facing on a daily basis. And we need the assurance that God is for us. But even more than that, as we are in the wilderness of this world, we ourselves are struggling with sin within us. We're struggling with rebellion. We're struggling with complaining. We're struggling with disobedience. We're struggling with the idols of our hearts, with the selfishness of our sinful nature and the pride of our sinful nature as well. Our hearts are full of idolatry. Our hearts are full of pride. And we need the assurance of the presence of Jehovah for us. We need the assurance of the cross itself. And our children need the assurance of the cross of Jesus Christ as they're struggling with sin. Not only that, but there are many hardships and struggles for us in this life, for us and our children. What's most important for us to know is the presence of God with us. That's the very heart of the comfort of the covenant. God is with us and for us. In this wilderness, He's giving us all that we need through Jesus Christ. He is merciful toward us. And that's not at all dependent on what we do. But see how important this is then in our homes and our families. Parents, this is an important word for you. It's not just an important word for your children, but for you. In your parenting, in the struggles of parenting, be assured that the Lord is with you. This work of parenting is not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. It requires much work on our part and much patience and mercy as well. And let us trust that the Lord is with us, giving us all that we need in this work of parenting. Even as we look back and see our failures, let us be assured of the merciful presence of God that He will not forsake us in this work, even though we see the many times we've messed up and made a mess of things. But this is an important word for us to teach our children as well when they're struggling, when they're afraid, when they see their own sins and they try to deal with sin in their own ways, like lying about that sin or trying to make it up by being kind. And of course, they ought to be kind, but they're not to make up for sin. We cannot make up for sin. And so we're to teach our children, yes, you've sinned, but there's hope because we have a merciful God who sent His Son to die on the cross, to pay for your sins. And when they're afraid, when they're afraid of the circumstances of life, we tell them, no, you don't have to be afraid. The Lord, He is with you just as He is with me. And we have nothing to fear because of that. That's what we teach our children. The Lord is with us in His mercy and His power. Along with that, the testimony of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire is the faithful guidance of Jehovah. I pointed that out earlier, but let's go back to that. This cloud and this fire were the means that God used to lead His people from Egypt, the land of bondage, to the promised land of Canaan. God led by that cloud and fire, and the people followed. That's what we read especially in Numbers chapter 9. When the cloud stopped, the people stopped and they set up camp. When that cloud moved, when that cloud went up, then the people of Israel packed up the camp and they were ready to move. And they moved then from Succoth there in Egypt to the Red Sea, to Marah, to Elim, to Mount Sinai, to the promised land of Canaan, right up to the border of it, because the Lord was leading them and guiding them with this cloud and with this fire. And the people understood that. They understood that they stopped and stayed in a place for a certain length of time because it was the commandment of the Lord. They would stop when that cloud stopped and when that cloud moved. It was the commandment of the Lord, we read there in Numbers 9, that they were called by God Himself to move. This was the case because the cloud and the fire represented Jehovah God. So the people of Israel saw this as the revelation of God Himself to them. So the pillar of cloud and fire speaks to us about how God guides us in our lives. Now there are two aspects to this. The first is this. It points us to His sovereignty. I said earlier, there's the presence of God and His power. That leads us to consider God's sovereignty. He leads and directs everything that happens in our lives. The Scriptures are clear on that. He leads and guides in the small things, and He leads and guides in the major things in our lives. He does that even now through Jesus Christ, who is in the exalted position of ruling over all things, everything that happens, good or bad, according to our viewpoint, is governed by God. So when a baby's up from 1 to 4 in the morning, God's sovereign over that. When that baby has a cold, that first cold, I'm worried about her health, God governs that. God directs that as much as He directs someone who gets cancer and when someone dies. And He guides and governs then all things that are happening in our lives. So we see and understand that God is guiding sovereignly everything that happens according to His perfect plan. So that's part of seeing the guidance of God, but that's not all that there is. But instead we see from this very cloud and the people receiving the movement of the cloud as the commandment of the Lord, that the Lord also guides us in our lives through His Word. He leads us and guides us by His Word, the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures that He has given to us. In this path that we are walking in this earth, He sheds light upon our way, telling us how it is that we are to live. Do this, and we are called to follow Him. So it's not just His sovereign rule of our lives, but it's also the Word of God. Now, this doesn't mean that in the Word of God we're going to find a definitive verse for every decision that we have to make. What job should I take? There's no chapter, verse, book we go to and say, here, God's telling me to take this job. What school should I go to? What should be my major in school? God gives us principles to follow, and we're not to live outside of those principles. And there are certain things we have to consider in making some of those decisions. But God Himself does not reveal in His Word exactly what we're doing, and He does not whisper it in our ears. We do have decisions that we have to make in our lives. Maybe there are times we wish that God would speak directly to us so that we would know what we're supposed to do in a certain situation. But what God does give to us in His Word is guidance for how we are to live our lives in obedience before Him. What He does give is how we are to respond to the situations and the circumstances of our lives. There, we're told how to do that in His Word. And so this morning, we're reminded of the importance of the Word of God. The Word of God gives us the right viewpoint of life. It's not just about commandments. The Word of God tells us there's going to be suffering in our lives. Don't be surprised by that. The Word of God reminds us then as well that in the suffering in life, there's a certain way that we are to live. There's a certain way we are to respond. We're to trust God and we are to obey God in our lives. That shows us then the importance in our homes of being in the Word. In our homes, we need to be in the Word. We're reminded this morning of the importance of family worship. The importance of having a time where we as families are sitting together to read God's Word and pray together so that we would hear what God is saying to us. We don't have a cloud coming down and saying, this is what you're supposed to do today. But instead we have the Word of God that has come down to us and sheds light upon our path and says, this is the way in which we are to live and walk in our lives because this is what I am doing, God says to us in His Word. And so let us as families be regularly then in the Word of God. And not just in that family worship, but in our parenting. To use the Word of God to teach our children when they're struggling in their lives. This is not just what mom or dad says, but this is the authoritative Word of God. This is what God says to us about His presence with us. Maybe you ought to memorize this verse. Or they're struggling with a certain sin. This is what God says about that. And let's look at some of the verses that God gives to us in His Word so that we are informed and influenced by the Word of God. And we want that not just for our children, but even as adults and parents in our lives. We need the Word. And let us use the Word because this is what leads us and guides us in our lives. As we live our lives, what is striking about this cloud and fire that God sent is that God led them into the wilderness with this cloud and fire. That's an important part of the leading and guiding of God that we should see and understand this morning. God led them into the desert, into the wilderness. This was no vacation for the people of Israel. This was no interesting safari where they got to venture out in the wilderness for a little while and see what it was like there so that they could take some pictures of it or shoot some animals. No, they were heading out into the desert. And they didn't know it at the time, but they were going to be there for over 40 years. Enough time for one generation to die off, and another generation would be the adults and the leaders in Israel, all except for Joshua and for Caleb. Heading out into the wilderness, into the desert, meant all kinds of struggles and hardships. It meant the hot sun beating down upon them day after day. It meant the need for water in a parched land. It meant trying to find food in the midst of a wilderness. How would they find that water and that food? It meant facing enemies. The Amalekites would attack them and fight against them. Before that, Pharaoh, before they even really got into the wilderness, Pharaoh and his army were attacking the people of Israel, and the men of Israel did not know how to fight. God did not lead them around these hardships. He didn't lead them through a nice, prospering land, but He led them into the wilderness on the way to the promised land. We're taught here in the Word of God that God does the same thing for us. He doesn't promise an easy way. He doesn't promise that this morning for Nora, nor for Jared and Kylie, nor for any of us, for that matter. God says there will be hardships and difficulties in our lives. We might wonder, well, why? Why doesn't He lead around those things? Well, it's in these very things that He shows His greatness. And remember that when we go through hardship and difficulty, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. And the proof of that is what He did to His own Son. The Son of His love, His only begotten Son. He didn't keep Him from all suffering in His life, but instead He sent Him through the worst suffering imaginable, the suffering of His wrath in our place. And in His life here on this earth, it wasn't easy as He was opposed and He was hated. And He did not even have a place where He might lay His head, a place to call His own home. And so we can be assured then that God is going to lead us into the wilderness of this life, and we're going to face temptation. We're going to face enemies. We're going to face hardships, maybe some hardships that we couldn't even imagine. We're attacked by Satan and by a wicked world. There will be sickness. There will be death. There will be relationship struggles. There will be hurts in our own souls. Some may struggle with depression. Prophets will preach on that tonight. All kinds of disappointments and hurts. But we see and understand that not only does God lead us through this wilderness, but He's guiding us by His Word and His Spirit. He doesn't tell us ahead of time what hardships and struggles we're going to face, but this He does assure us of. He will protect us. He will protect us so that we're not taken away from Him. There's none who can be plucked out of His fatherly hand. There's nothing that can separate us from His love. God comes to us in the wilderness and He assures us of His love. And that's the assurance that we need because of all of our sin. And He says to us, don't base my love on the circumstances that you face, and don't base my love on how good you are, but see and know the love of Me, your Father, in Jesus Christ. And that's where we see and know His love, in the victory of Jesus Christ for us. He guides us in His Word, then showing us how we are to respond to the hardships that He sends in life. And this is what He says, as I'm guiding you, trust Me and obey Me. It's exactly what He's saying to the people of Israel in the wilderness. Trust Me and obey Me. And just like the people of Israel, we don't do that very well. We're learning to trust and obey. But be assured of that this morning. He's guiding us by His Word in all of these circumstances. And let's not forget the destination. He's guiding us to that destination. The people of Israel were being guided by the cloud and fire to the promised land. And that's where we're going to, not Canaan, the heavenly Canaan. We're on our way to heavenly glory, the place that we have because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. This is where God is taking every one of His people. Every one of His people in Jesus Christ. So in the sorrows and hardships of life, may we be reminded of this as well. He's leading us and guiding us and taking us home. So children, when you're afraid, remember these two things. God's present and He's guiding. Young people, when you're afraid, remember these two things. God's present and He's guiding parents, grandparents, whatever circumstances we face in our lives as adults. God is with us and He is guiding us. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this word of hope and comfort. We're thankful for Thy presence here this morning by Thy word and spirit. And we're thankful for Thy ongoing presence with us. O Lord, continue to guide us, continue to protect us, but also work in us by Thy spirit that we would trust and that we would obey. May that be our response to hearing of Thy presence with us and Thy faithful guidance in all of this life. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.